Well, that familiar music means it's time for one thing on Wednesday mornings. It's time again for another edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, Webster City, where their focus is you. And joining us live with the studio today, we have Lori Foster from Vandy's Medical Center. Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat.
Thank you very much. Here we are, final Wednesday in October, and we set the clocks back 1 hour coming up on Saturday night. So hopefully people get accustomed to that, but not too bad of morning after all that rain we had last night.
We did all day.
Mm-hmm,
yes,
for sure.
It was a nice light soaker we had.
So. Yes, we did. Well, coming up this morning, we have a good friend, Kevin Boltina from 21st Century Rehab, talking about things you need to know when it comes to that physical rehab in your house or in your for medicine and so forth. But busy time for Vandy's Medical Center. You have some information, don't you?
I do. I have several announcements that I'd like to share with our listeners. One that you had shared last week, we do appreciate it. We are excited to announce that Dr. Rude Raputna will be joining us, our team of visiting specialists at Vandy's Medical Center. Dr. Rude Raputna is an oncology and hematology physician with McFarland Clinic in Ames. He does treat a wide variety of diseases and disorders, including breast cancer, colon and rectal cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer, lymphoma, urological and gynecological cancers, cancers of the head and neck, and blood diseases. Dr. Rude Raputna will see patients in our specialty clinic on the fourth Thursday morning of each month. Due to the upcoming holidays, his first clinic will be November 20th.
So that's a push-up from the fourth Thursday because it is Thanksgiving. So actually be the third Thursday this go-around, then back to the fourth. Wait a minute. The fourth Thursday. No, the fourth Thursday in December will be Christmas.
So both? Yes, November and December, he is altering his schedule because of the holidays. So November, he will be here November 20th, and December, he will be here on the 11th.
Oh, December 11th.
So, yes. Okay. And then once we get to the first of the year, he will get into his regular cadence of the fourth Thursday morning of each month.
All right. Sounds good for him. So you welcome our friend, the new physician there at Vandy's Medical Center, being part of the family.
Yes, Dr. Rude Raputna, and he is a fantastic oncologist. We are thrilled that he is going to be providing services at our hospital.
Good for him.
Yes. Also have another announcement I'd like to make for one of our physicians that is soon to join us. And we have shared this with our staff, but we are very excited to announce that Dr. Adam Swisher, who is a board-certified family medicine physician, will join the Vandy's Family Health Clinic in Fort Dodge as their newest provider.
Mm-hmm.
He is a doctor of osteopathy from Des Moines University. He did his residency with Mercy Medical Center in North Iowa in Mason City. He has worked at Stewart Memorial Community Hospital in Lake City. And since 2020, he has been affiliated with Unity Point Family Medicine in Fort Dodge. Dr. Swisher will join our team in Fort Dodge the end of December. He will start seeing patients. And we're very excited to be welcoming Dr. Adam Swisher to our team.
Good.
Yes. And then very exciting news that we actually just shared with our staff yesterday, but I'd love to share it with our listeners. We are very pleased to announce Dr. Samasetti will be joining our team in the surgery department at Vandy's Medical Center in January. And Dr. Samasetti is a general orthopedic surgeon. He has 25 years of clinical experience. He treats all types of hip, you know, if there's hip and knee replacement. He does shoulders. He does hands. He is a general orthopedic surgeon. We are thrilled to have him. He has quite a variety of clinical experience that does range from teaching and mentoring of students as a clinical assistant professor to providing full spectrum orthopedic care, as I shared, in rural Iowa, which is really nice. He was at Mahaska Health Partnership in Oskaloosa, Iowa, where he was staff orthopedic surgeon for 16 years. Most recently, he served as staff orthopedic surgeon and chief of orthopedics at Broadlands Medical Center in Des Moines. So he will be joining our team and seeing patients, as I mentioned, beginning in January. Very pleased to welcome Dr. Samasetti.
All right.
And then I do have just a couple of general announcements that I have made previously on the show. Speaking to all the women out there, we hope that you make your health a priority. We want to make your health a priority. And during the months of October and November, we have added something special. In honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is the month of October, women who schedule their mammograms either have done it this month or into next month, the month of November, you will be entered into a prize drawing. It is our way of saying thank you for taking a moment for your health. You can call the clinic at 515-832-7800 to schedule your mammogram, or you can go online. It's very easy. Go to our website, vandeestmc.org, and on the top of the homepage, there is a button, Schedule Online, and you can schedule your mammogram at your convenience. And then lastly, a general reminder about Medicare Part D open enrollment period. It is going on now through December 7th. This is a very important time for seniors to check their current Part D plan or Medicare Advantage plan to make sure that the drugs that are covered are at their lowest cost with the least amount of restrictions. We do have three volunteer SHIP counselors who are reviewing plans during open enrollment. If you have questions or would like to possibly have your plans reviewed, and I encourage all seniors to do this, plans can change. If you have not received paperwork, you can call their number, 515-832-7769, and please leave your name, phone number, and it's very helpful if you let them know when you might be available for a return phone call, and one of the counselors will give you a call back.
Very good. Halloween, now, is Vandy's Medical Center doing something for Halloween for as in years past?
We are not. We are encouraging our staff to dress up for Halloween, which of course is this Friday. But we are not doing a separate trick-or-treat event, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, yes, because for many years you've done that, but I was just curious.
It's been quite some time since we've done that. We had done that prior to COVID.
Yes.
Yes, but since that time, we have not.
Okay.
And we've partnered with the city and the chamber and other organizations who have done some trick-or-treat events.
Okay. So no trick-or-treating at Vandy's Medical Center. It was last Thursday, matter of fact.
It was. Yes, it was.
Very good. All right.
And that does it for my announcements today.
All right, Lori. Well, we have a very dear friend of ours in the studio here. We have Kevin Boltina from 21st Century Rehab, and we're talking about rehabilitation today, aren't we?
That is correct. The month of October is National Physical Therapy Month, so it's a perfect time to invite our physical therapist, and Kevin is the manager of 21st Century at Vandeest Medical Center. We do celebrate and thank our physical therapists and our therapy staff who help patients regain strength, mobility, and independence. This improves their quality of life, and they provide terrific care to our patients. We are very grateful and thankful that we have them there.
Yes, indeed.
So glad to have Kevin Boltina, Doctor of Physical Therapy, joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Although it is National Physical Therapy Month, it's always a good month to talk about physical therapy.
Yes,
that's right.
We won't limit ourselves to just this month.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. It is a perfect time to highlight the physical therapists at Vandeest Medical Center, the team there, and all the work that they do in caring for our patients.
And we do have a great team out there. And I think one of the things that we have a strength in is just all the differing things that people can do. We have people that have specialties in all different types of things, you know, from vertigo to TMJ or jaw pain to Parkinson's to dry needling to. So there's just all kinds of different services that can be provided. And so that's what we may talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the time as Kevin and I talk, or we invite some of the different therapists to come on the show and discuss a topic, is all, like Kevin said, all the different conditions that people may have. And physical therapy, possibly occupational therapy too, can help patients. And patients don't realize really the wide variety of conditions that they do help to treat.
And that's true. And And that's what makes, you know, as we'll talk today a little bit about just what that first visit to therapy may look like. And it's not an uncommon, you know, person to come in and say, I'm here, but I don't really know why. Mm-hmm. And that opens up a whole gate of things to start talking about of where their limitations are. And, you know, typically people will come in to see a therapist for one of two reasons. Either they're having pain that they're having a hard time dealing with, or they're having a lack of function or a loss of function that they're needing to deal with. And so a big part of our goal then is to tease out what exactly are we working towards. And that's going to be different for different people. So therapy should be a very individualized program, you know, trying to cater to whatever your needs are. For some people, it's they just need to feel better. For some people, it's they need to be able to do something they haven't done in a while. And sometimes those goals intermix, and, you know, we have to work on one, then work on the other, or different things. But I think that's just an important part of, first of all, is identifying what are our goals, what are we working towards, and then coming up with an individualized program. So in my first visit, one of the questions that I may ask would be, I'll phrase it in the form of a question, and, you know, say you've worked in therapy for 30 days. At the end of that 30 days, how do you want to look back and say, boy, physical therapy really helped me because blank? And let them just kind of go with, you know, where their goals are. What would they like to achieve? And that's where some people will say, I just have to try and get rid of this pain. And I may approach that differently from someone who says, man, I haven't been able to swing a golf club this year. Or I can't hit the ball as far. Or I want to start playing pickleball. Or I can't make it up the stairs. You know, those things are, you know, we may approach just a little bit differently. So just trying to identify those goals right out of the, you know, right at that first visit can make our visit more successful, or the whole physical therapy program more successful.
Absolutely. And so we thought it might be kind of fun to walk through a couple different patient scenarios. As Kevin mentioned, quite often patients will be referred to physical therapy by their primary care provider. Mm-hmm. And so they come to their appointment and they may not know exactly why they are there. They'll maybe present and say, well, I was referred to physical therapy. And so we thought, and we'll involve you too, Pat.
Okay.
We just thought, let's walk through a few scenarios of patients that would typically present at physical therapy and then talk about what those goals look like. And then what would the treatment be? What does that plan of action look like starting with that first appointment? So a very common reason that people come to physical therapy, like Kevin mentioned, is for pain. One of the most common being lower back pain. So say there is a 55-year-old that comes to physical therapy, has low back pain, and just wants to be relieved of pain, wants to decrease their pain. That is their goal. What is that first appointment going to look like, Kevin?
So I think the first time that we're going to try and figure out is this a new pain or is it a pain that's been going on for a while? Is we'll probably approach those two things just a little bit differently. What's the onset? Was it a pain that just came on slowly over a long period of time? Or was there a sudden onset of pain? Was there any trauma involved? As that can start narrowing down what types of tissues may be involved and what kind of treatments we may need to go down. And after that, we're going to start figuring out a little bit more specifically, what are the things that cause you pain? Okay. In other words, is your pain constant or does it come and go? Is there certain movements or positions or activities that may cause an increase in pain or even a decrease in pain. And, you know, although everybody's case is unique, you certainly can start picking up on key phrases, key words that people use as to how they both describe their pain and what they are limited in. And so we may look at it differently. If somebody can't bend over to pick something up off the floor, that may lead us down a different direction of somebody who can't walk around Walmart long enough because their back starts hurting. So just in that first subjective interview, we're starting to narrow down what we think may be involved and how do we go about fixing it or achieving our goals.
Very good. There's probably some, in addition to the interview part of it, some physical assessments that you're doing with the patient?
So yeah, after we discern, just kind of get through those questions and identify what the goals are and get through just the patient's history of what, you know, give us early indications of what might be going on, we're going to start evaluating especially movements and tissues to identify, you know, what may be causing the pain. So we're going to ask to do lots of different tests. You know, just looking at, you know, maybe in the case of back pain, what your trunk range of motion looks like. Can you bend over, you know, with the spinal mobility to pick something up? And if, even if you can, how does that movement look? I'm going to be actually fairly critical of watching somebody bend over, not necessarily even worrying about how far they go, but how they get there. You know, what their movement looks like. As again, that just starts cueing in different things as far as what we're going to want to work on throughout their therapy program.
I'm sure as a physical therapist, yes, you are watching. You have a keen eye and watching for how a patient is moving or when they're not moving a certain way. And definitely, you know, identifying certain things that register with you.
Right. And that's true. And that's something my kids actually have really learned to hate through the years. As you know, we all like to just people watch a different thing.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes it's easy to take that into a physical therapy realm and say, ooh, watching that person walk, they're going to have knee pain. Mm-hmm. They're going to have some back problems, which quickly got annoying to teenagers. But anyway.
Well, let's talk about another scenario, and this is a common one, too. Say there is a patient that presents and had a knee replacement and wants to regain their range of motion, and possibly they have some swelling and they want to reduce the swelling in their knee. What does that first appointment look like?
So, yeah, that will be, you know, still trying to identify goals, and especially knowing how far out from surgery are they. If it's in a, you know, just very shortly after surgery, then we're going to have to deal with surgical healing and issues, which just takes time. Despite what everybody thinks, that they're a fast healer and they can be right back at it quicker, there's time-based healing, and some of those people we have to rein in just to keep them from doing things that are going to get them into further trouble.
Worse than their condition.
Yeah, you know, or just trying to do too much too soon, walking, you know, or just trying to do too much activity too soon, which puts them at risk as well as not doing enough. So trying to find that right balance of not only what they need to work on, but how much should they be doing, and when is it time to not do more. And that can be a fine line,
right,
for both people and therapists to try and find. But still going to be looking at just a lot of function. You know, after knee replacement, you know, yeah, the joint surfaces should be, you know, they're new, but we're still dealing with our old muscles, and we're still dealing with our, you know, normal circulation system and all those other factors. that can't be just ignored. So yeah, there's if you don't get your range of motion back after a knee surgery, it's going to affect the way you walk. It's going to affect all your activity. So we're going to be really looking at a lot of function at that point. How do we get you to move better, to walk more? Swelling, how do we, you know, deal with circulation? You know, we have people that specialize in controlling swelling and use of compression to help that and everything. So even just trying to present ideas as to, I mean, we all know ice, elevate, and compress, but there's lots of nuances even within that as to make that more effective. So, and swelling is a very limiting factor for people. It can cause a lot of pain. It can cause decreased mobility, all the problems with circulation. Mm-hmm. So,
and in the case of someone who has had a knee replacement, I can't say, but I think quite often, you know, they've been dealing with pain in their knee for a long time, and they wait until they almost cannot stand it anymore. You know, it has affected their walking, their quality of life, and they decide to have the surgery done. So yes, they're anxious to get back to that quality of life that they had before the knee mm-hmm. replacement, and probably months prior to that, because they've been dealing with it for quite some time. And so all the more reason, like you said, they've got to be careful and not have them do too much, but they want to get back to that state that they remember being
right.
in.
And as you mentioned, just, you know, in that scenario, your knee's not only going to be affected, but so is your foot and ankle. So is your hip. So is your back. So even, you know, those things aren't probably functioning as well as a result of the dysfunction in the knee. And so we can't forget about what that looks like as well, even when you're recovering from the knee replacement. And the more there are just deviations to the walking pattern, the more likely we're going to call in other issues that. And some of that, yeah, has been months or years in the making
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that can be really hard to get away from. And especially if people keep doing the same problems. And I say that with saying how quickly people want to get away from using an assistive device, which I get. But at the same time, we want you walking well, not just without the device. So they may hear me holler about that from time to time.
Again, why it's so very important to do the physical therapy, especially yes. in this scenario when someone has had a joint replacement. So a third scenario we do have time for would be, let's say, a 72-year-old patient who has moderate Parkinson's disease, has decreased balance, difficulty walking, sometimes even shuffles kind of along, and really they do have a fear of falling, and they just want to improve all of these. What is that first appointment going to look like?
So, and all the better, you know, if we can even employ family in some of this, to know how things are functioning at home, including, you know, with Parkinson's, medications can play such a big role in how they're functioning. And so I think even wanting to know when and how much, you know, their medication is their timing of when they take medications affecting their function. And is that something that can be played with a little bit to maximize when they're getting the most effect of the medication combined with when they may need to function the most or to have the best function throughout the whole day and night. And certainly Parkinson's is a very specialty area, and that's where we're going to want them to probably work with our Parkinson's, you know, that have more specialties in that area as they run. We do have some Parkinson's specialties and a support group that meets mm-hmm. every month. So that's a very specific area. But, you know, with Parkinson's, they have a very distinct gait and movement patterns that can be debilitating and really present increased risk for falls. And so much of that is we're going to really promote getting away from their movement patterns, which is really, really hard because of how the brain is functioning and controlling movement. But there are ways, and it's really a lot of fun to watch people with you know, a disease like Parkinson's work through a program and see how they change. You know, especially Parkinson's is known for the shuffling gait mm-hmm. style.
Yes.
And to be able to see them working through a program and to see that step length get better, see their initiation of movement get better. And it's really fun. That's one of the most rewarding parts of the job, is to get that feedback of, boy, we've done these things.
Right.
And it's now resulting in what we see when they're walking and seeing patients return to doing things better, doing things they haven't done for a while. Very individualized, and I think that's, to sum up the whole program, that's what we want to do, is figure out what your goals are and then try and come up with a plan as to how to get there. Excellent. And that's the fun part of working, you know, in the therapy realm, is everybody's a puzzle. Everybody's got a new situation, new things they need to work on. And it's always trying to figure out, you know, the puzzle. What will work in this case?
Mm-hmm. Well, you and your team do a fantastic job working with all of our patients, different conditions in which they present. Is there anything that is needed for appointments with physical therapy?
You know, come ready to move, wear appropriate clothing, shoes. I cringe a little bit when people walk in for their appointments and they're in flip-flops.
Hmm. Yeah.
So good shoes, clothes that you're just comfortable moving in. You know, just however that looks like. It doesn't have to be necessarily specific, but just comfortable to move in. And I think just coming in, the more information that you can give us about where you're at and where you wish to be, the easier we can work together to come up with a good program. So come in with ready to tell your story.
Sure.
Very good. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the program today, highlighting these scenarios. And we do want to thank you and your team for everything you do, the vital role that you play in restoring health and wellness in our community and with our patients. If people have questions for any of the therapists at 21st Century Rehab at Van Deese Medical Center, they can call 515-832-7735.
And we are always open just to have a conversation in person on the mm-hmm, phone.
Sure.
Just about, is this something you can help me with?
Right.
There we go.
And we'll be very open.
Excellent. Thanks again, Kevin.
Oh, it's always fun.
Good program this morning. And what do we have next week?
Next week, I do not recall.
Okay, so we'll find out.
I don't know if we'll be back in the studio. It's been fun being
in the
studio.
Sure.
And so we'll let you know. We may be back here. It may be a recorded show, but we look forward to bringing a great show as always.
Looking forward to it. Roy Foster, Kevin Boltina, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Absolutely. That does it for Focus on Health on this Wednesday, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you, and I'm Pat Powell.